Amen. Amen. Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we do bless your name. Thank you so much for this day. Thank you for this privilege to worship you in spirit and in truth. Lord, we pray that as your word goes forth, that it will fall on fertile soil. We pray, oh God, that that person here today who does not know you and the free pardon of their sin, that this might be the day of decision, that they would come to confess you as Lord and Savior of their lives. Bless your word as it goes forth. In Christ Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Good morning. Good morning. How do you follow that? No, you don't. I'm going to look at Joshua chapter 1, verses 1 through 9. Meet me there if you can. Joshua chapter 1, verses 1 through 9. When you find it, say amen. I'll begin reading at verse 1 in Joshua chapter 1. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spoke to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, saying, Moses, my servant is dead. Now therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, you and all this people, to the land which I am giving to them, the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given you, as I said to Moses, from the wilderness and this Lebanon, as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, all of the land of the Hittites and the great sea toward the going down of the sun shall be your territory. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and of good courage, for to this people you shall divide as an inheritance the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous, that you may observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may prosper wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you shall make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid, nor be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. So ends the reading of God's word. I want to preach about when uncertainty shows up. When uncertainty shows up. You're 90 years old. The man who was your mentor, the man who poured so much into you, the man whom you had developed a kinship, a friendship with, is now dead. No longer will you have his presence in your life. No longer will you be able to laugh with him and get insight and counsel from him. You were an eyewitness to some of the greatest things done, and now he is dead. You have to begin to wonder what went through the mind of Joshua as he was facing this kind of dilemma. He would now have to move over 2 million people into Canaan, and this was not an easy group of folk to deal with. He knew that. In the back of his mind, he had to be saying to himself, you obviously have picked the wrong person to do this, because this is a difficult task for me to handle. But we learn some things about God when we find ourselves in what seem to be difficult or impossible situations. We're able to see the faithfulness of our God when it looks like the bottom is about to drop out of your world. And make no mistake, all of us from time to time find ourselves in situations or predicaments that are incredibly uncertain. We just don't know for real how it's going to turn out. It's like that father who said, he brought his son to Jesus, "Lord, I believe, but help thou my unbelief." Every now and then we find ourselves in situations where we feel that way. And I believe that the Word of God gives us some holy hints, some instruction that we can lean upon when we find ourselves dealing with that uncertain season that touches all of us from time to time. The first thing I want us to see is this. God speaks to us in our uncertainty. The text says, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spoke to Joshua. Don't want to run by that too fast, because it's tailored to teach us that God is still speaking to us today, just as he spoke to Joshua. Is that good news to you, to know that our God is still meeting us at the point of our need when we find ourselves distressed, finding difficulty, not sure how we're going to make it? Our God wants to talk and speak with us. God speaks to us in different ways. In the Old Testament, he spoke through visions, through dreams. He spoke through different events, through judgment. He spoke through the Torah. He spoke in different ways. And even today, we find that God is still speaking to us. He speaks to us by way of his risen Son, Jesus Christ. He speaks to us by way of the Scriptures. He speaks to us through prayer. He's speaking to us. The question, beloved, is this. Are we listening? Do we hear what God is saying? A lot of talking. He's speaking. But the question is, are we listening to him? We hear a whole lot of noise throughout the course of the day. And don't you know, when I steal away, sit down, and quiet myself, I can then begin to hear the Lord speak to me. It's like pulling away and just getting by yourself and allowing the voice of God to minister unto you. Now, this is kind of tricky because we live in a time where you've got to always be talking or always listening or something always is grabbing our ears. But if I'm going to hear his voice, I'm going to have to get by myself, turn off my phone, tell them to leave you alone for the next 10 minutes and just sit and reflect on my God. Because that's the only way that I can begin to put myself in a place where I can hear what he is trying to say. We're busy. We have a whole lot going on. But the Bible says he spoke. I don't know if it was by way of a vision, I don't know if it was a dream, but the fact of the matter is, our God wants to communicate with us. He's trying to tell us something. And I don't know about you, when I'm uncertain, when things are not quite clear, I want to hear. Lord, thy servant, listen, speak, Lord. That's what Samuel said. I want to hear what you have for me. He speaks to us specifically. He speaks to us continually. And sometimes, beloved, I'm afraid we are missing what he's saying because we're not slowing down and listening. He's got some solutions. He's got some advice. He's got some guidance. I don't want to be deaf to his voice. So in our uncertainty, the Lord is speaking. Start with 5 minutes. Just say, I'm going to take 5 minutes and just sit. And it may mean just prayer. It may be more listening than doing or saying anything. We somehow think we always have to be saying. But solitude and silence is what he's talking about. And that's, beloved, something that all of us can do. To learn to practice solitude and silence. Now listen, don't give up because you don't feel or sense something is happening. It's the practice of silence and solitude. In other words, you may have to try it more than 2 days. Think about it. We do a whole lot of stuff and give it a way more chance than 2 days. But if you try just to be silent and hear the voice of the Lord during my seasons of uncertainty, it can keep me from getting into some stuff that maybe can be harmful. Because I didn't get a chance to listen to see what God wanted me to do. So practice solitude and silence. He says something else. Look at what he says in verse 5. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you nor forsake you. The first part of that verse, he says, no one shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. The land was theirs. But they were going to have to fight for it. It was not going to simply be given to them. Conflict was going to be at work. And so it is, beloved, with us. Conflict. We're going to face some battles. We're going to be battle scarred. In fact, no one leaves without some scars. That's the nature of walking and traveling and trafficking with Jesus. There's going to be some times when you and I are going to have to do some battles. We don't always like that kind of talk. Someone has tricked, bamboozled, and fooled us into thinking that once you come to Christ, it's an easy road. No, no. I would beg to differ. As a matter of fact, the enemy seems to have you in his crosshairs the more simply because you've made a commitment to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. In other words, you're really going to see what this walk is all about. How dare we think that this thing is going to be easy, a flowery bed of roses? No. No. Scripture says, in this world ye shall have tribulation. That's a promise. Question is, how am I going to handle it when it comes my way? So he says, I want you to understand that you're going to have to fight for this. But it gets even better. He says, I want you to know also, as I was with Moses, so shall I be with you. That's the promise of his presence. We can rest in the promise of his presence. God is so good, so much, and so often, that if we're not careful, I can almost begin to take for granted that the sovereign, all-knowing God is with us. In the face of our uncertainty, what I need to remember that as the Lord was with Moses, so shall he be with me. All right. What does that do to you when you know that the all-knowing, all-powerful, holy, righteous, merciful, loving God is in your presence? Does that mean I look at my situation different simply because who is with me? Oh, you're not feeling this thing, because when you know who's with you, it can make all the difference in the world. I was the oldest, and they would send me to the store, and sometimes, I may have shared this, going to the store in our neighborhood was sometimes a high-risk adventure because you You didn't know what was going to happen. But the first thing you would do, Thurn, is that you would try to get some maybe Thurn size to go with you to the store because you knew that if something would jump off, you would have someone with you. You didn't want anybody with you, but you wanted somebody with some girth, somebody that could help you stand up against something. Well, that's how my God is. He's the same way. He's saying, when you find yourself uncertain, just remember that I am with you, and whatever you faith, you're dragging me along with you. That's provided you know him as your Lord and Savior. Now, if you don't know him, if you never confessed him, then you're all by yourself, and we'll see what happens. But he has made me a remarkable promise to banish my uncertainty that he is with me. Ah, that can help me face some demons that come my way because he is with me. So how should I respond to that? That he's always with me, as he was with Moses. Well, thank God for that kind of promise. Yeah. But just begin to thank him for the promise that he is always with me. Hallelujah. He's never tired, he's never taking a nap. But he's always with me. Disappoint the devil and begin to operate from the I can do this mentality because God is with me. Yeah. Disappoint the enemy by simply acknowledging I'm praising God, and you know what? I'm getting through this. Because God promised that he's going to be with me, and God is not a man that he should lie, so I'm believing, trusting, and taking God and his word. And when I'm taking God at his word, I begin to behave like I'm taking him at his word. In other words, my face does not give way that I'm going through struggles. You ever seen some folk facial posture when they frowning and they slouch? I mean, well, if I'm his child and he's with me, then I ought to square my shoulders up, put my chest out, and walk sure-footed because of who's with me. Oh, come on now. I'm feeling this thing up here. I can't help it because that's what makes a difference in my life. As I get up and face each day, he is with me. Let me move. Because he's with me, tell fear you gotta flee. Tell doubt, you got to flee. Tell I can't, you've got to flee. The Almighty God is with me. Begin to rehearse in your mind, because he's with me, some of your past victories. Mm-hmm. This is not the first time you found your back up against the wall. And it won't be the last. But if you have a halfway good memory, one of the things I can do is begin to rehearse in my mind what God has done before. And I'm believing that if he did it before, he can certainly do it again. So I'm going to trust and believe and leave the outcome to him, because our God is able. Maybe it would have been good for Joshua to rehearse in his mind how God showed himself faithful as they had to deal with the 10 plagues, and none of them were impacted by it. They all got through it. Maybe it had to do with the dividing of the Red Sea, when that strong east wind blew throughout the night and they were able to cross over on dry land. You see, when you begin to rehearse in your mind some past victories, then I look at my uncertainty in a different way, because God is able. Number three, when uncertainty shows up, he tells us something here. He says, be strong and courageous. Now watch this. He says it In verse 6, be strong and of good courage. Verse 7, only be strong and very courageous. He says it in verse 9, I have commanded you, be strong and of good courage, do not be afraid. And then verse 18, the people are now telling Joshua, be strong and of good courage. Now, he has to say this thing four times. What is he saying? To be strong, that's right, and courageous. And listen, that is hard. It's hard to be strong and courageous. He did not want him to miss this. So whenever scripture keeps repeating something, it's for emphasis. Listen, I don't want you to miss this. And I'm going to say it four times to make sure that you don't miss this. And beloved, that's the same thing that he's telling you and I today. To be strong and courageous. That word strong means firm, resolute, not swayed. Courageous, daring, alert, brave, bold, determined. In 2 Chronicles 32:7, it says, be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or dismayed before the king of Assyria, nor before any of the multitude that is with him. For there are more with us than with him. Our God wants us to be strong and courageous with whatever it is we find ourselves going through. Now, this is not the first time that Joshua heard this phrase. In Deuteronomy chapter 31, verse 7, it says, be strong and of good courage, do not fear nor be afraid of them, for the Lord your God, he is the one who goes with you. He will not leave you nor forsake you. And then in the New Testament, Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 16, 13, Paul gives a final exhortation to the Corinthians. Watch, stand fast in the faith, be brave, and be strong. So this is even a New Testament principle that we need to hold on to, all right? That single parent who's struggling to make ends meet, and you're not sure how you're going to make it, he's saying, be strong and courageous. That college student, the emails are now coming in for the loans that you now have to start paying, and you look at what you're making, and you're looking at the amount of money you have to pay back, God is still saying, yeah, I know what it looks like, but be strong and courageous. That sickness that won't let you go, be strong and courageous. You're in academic probation. You just started school, and you're not quite sure how you're going to make it. He said, be strong and courageous. Your neighbor driving you crazy, and you're about ready to pick up something, but the Lord said, be strong and courageous. You don't need to be having a prison ministry. You know, that senior, your spouse is now no longer here. They've moved on. They're with the Lord. And you're looking at what you get each month and you're saying, my gosh, I don't know how I'm going to make it. But the Lord is constantly reminding us to be strong and courageous regardless of what you see. Somebody's dealing with something. This group of folk, enough of us. And the Lord sent me by to remind you. Man, did say something about the Lord is with us and we should be strong and courageous. I think I can, I just might be able to pull this thing off. You know? So the Lord is teaching us a couple things with this. He's saying, listen, don't be intimidated by the size of the challenge that you face. And sometimes that's where the enemy gets us. It would have been easy for Joshua to say, you know what? These two mean folk, you let somebody else do this. He didn't do that. He chose to do as God had told him to do. He did not allow what he was working with to cause him to flee. Keep in mind now that the Israelites, they was used to fighting leopards, snakes, windstorms. This is not a group who knew how to fight now. I mean, this is what you're working with. But the Lord was saying, listen, this is not a military battle that you're fighting. This is a spiritual battle. It is my word that is going to see you through and cause you to be victorious, not your ability to fight. So it is with us. It is the word of God that is going to allow us to handle the victories that we face, and not so much your brilliance or your ability to fight someone back, because you're not that strong. Nor are we that smart, nor are we that capable. But if I put it in the capable hands of him who promised he would not leave me, nor forsake me, oh, it changes. It's all of a sudden now a different situation. Our God is larger and he is capable. Learn how to pray the scripture. In other words, I might pray Joshua chapter 1, verse 9. Father, I'm going to be strong and of good courage. I'm not going to be afraid. I'm not going to be dismayed, because I know that the Lord my God is with me. Start giving God back what he has given you. Because you said, I'm just saying what you said. You want to be strong and courageous? Start talking like it. Let my vocabulary give way to the fact that I'm trusting and taking God at his word. That's why hanging out with this scripture is so valuable. Because you can pray scripture back to him. Tell me, if you can't do that with Longfellow. You can't do that with Thoreau. You can't do that with Kant. You can't do that with none of. But with Jesus, I can take him at his word and say, Lord, you said. And because you said, I'm trusting you. Enemy don't like to hear people talk like that. He gets to running. But listen, when you want to look at the greatest example of someone who was strong and courageous, look at Jesus. See, I always got to get Jesus in here. I can't help it. Listen, he's the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus Christ shows us how to be strong and courageous. All that hell he caught for the 3 years or so ministry that he had on earth, the Herodians, the Sadducees, and they were Sadducee, and all of them were constantly at him. But Jesus was strong and courageous. What a model for us. When they hung him high and stretched him wide on Golgotha, they took him down from that cross, and then they put him in a borrowed tomb, and he wouldn't need it too long. But on the third day, he got up with all power in his hands. And if you want to be strong and courageous, just follow the model of the master, and he will empower you to be strong and courageous. Listen, last point is this. Focus on the word, Joshua, when uncertainty shows up. Verse 8. Look at what he says. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth. Let me stop right there. What he's saying is, Joshua, listen, as you read this word, I want you to share the word. It's not enough just to read it, but I want you to do something with it. I want you to share the word. I want you to impart it to others. You got over 2 million folk, and they're looking at you, and you're going to need to give them something that's going to sustain and propel and push them. So it's going to be my word that is going to propel, push, and get them to where they need to be. The word of God. And you know, quite frankly, he's telling us the same thing. Not much has changed. He still wants us to be his mouthpiece. It's not about being a preacher. Listen, we're all preachers of the God. If you saved and you know Jesus Christ, you have a burden on your heart, hopefully, to see lost folk come to Jesus, and those who are wandering and don't know no better to get a glimpse of your life. And as they get a glimpse of your life, they begin to say, I don't know what it is about you, but I've been watching you for a while now, and I'm beginning to like what I see. What is it about you? I can't put my hand on it. And that's when you, I've been waiting for you to say something about that. Let me tell you, and I don't mean clobbering them with the word. Your life is a testimony. How you behave, the mess that they do at work, you're not part of it. You're operating separately from that. After a while, people want to begin to hang around you and begin to find out what it is. And that's when we have a chance to say something about our Jesus. But he says, listen, do something with this book, this word that gets in you. Folks that are anxious and don't know what to do find hope and help in this book. Folks that are confused find help in this book. Folks that don't know which way to go, they find direction in this book. And then he says something else. He says, Joshua, what you need to do is this. Meditate on the word of God. Meditate. Meditate on the word of God is when we read it and allow it to shape, mold, and conform. Scripture says, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. It's the word, not being squeezed into a mold, but this is the word of God that keeps us from being squeezed into a mold. I gotta read it with my head and my heart as I meditate to pull away and just see. Robert Molander wrote a book, Shaped by the Word. And this is, he makes a distinction between two types of reading. He said there's number one, there's something called informational reading. That's where you just read to gather facts, information, who wrote it, when it was written, and what was the, you read it with that in mind. Formational reading is different because now I'm reading this, and I'm reading it in such a way where I'm trying to see how what the word says can be applied to my life. In other words, I'm doing more than just simply reading it, but the word is speaking to me because I'm hanging out with it more. That means you can't be rushed. Okay, the 5-minute daily bread, I love it. Hit it in the morning. But when I meditate, I may have to take that daily bread and labor on that section of verses for about a month. See, we like, oh, did it? You check your list. Did it? Done. Meditating is a whole nother thing. And I'm not trying to make it spooky or ooh. No, it's just when you sit down and you may get a Psalm 23rd. And you labor in it. And man, after a while, if you keep laboring in it, guess what? It start chiseling some of you. And you beginning to see that shepherd a little different. And how he meets you, and come on, that's what happens. So what I want to do is learn to get in a place, and see, when folks say you got reading through a Bible in a year, I'm always intrigued by that. I don't do well. Some of people do, and I'm not saying don't do it, please. I'm the kind of fella that need about 2 years. Because I'm a slow reader, and I want to hold on to it, and I need to just slow walk. So those of you who can do the year, God bless you. I think that's wonderful. I just ain't there yet, so pray for a brother that maybe I may get there. But all I'm saying, and I'm trying to make trite or light of it, but this word, I need, it means to chew on it, gurgitate and take it back. I mean, this meditate thing, if you play with it long enough, it's worth the inconvenience to your terms of your time. It really is. And I'm going to move on because he says meditate on the word. He says observe the word. Then he says follow the word. Three things. Meditate, observe, and follow. And that applies to us today. Because what it does is, again, it begins to change my thinking. My behavior, stuff that used to be funny ain't funny anymore. Stuff that, injustice, it bothers me, it rubs me the wrong way when I see how folk are treated. And then it prompts me to do. It's not enough just to be bothered by something, but to be bothered to the point where it changes my behavior. That's what I want the Word of God to do. And believe me, beloved, when Christendom begins to behave like that, the world wakes up and takes notice. Yeah. When this Word, it's not so much how much Scripture you got, but how much the Scripture got you. That's where the rubber meets the road. So look, as you meditate, again, pull away. Get you a portion. Don't come with a preconceived notion. You know, sometimes we approach a text with, we already know what it's going to say, so I don't need to read it no more. I already know that. Listen, this thing is, we don't live long enough to scratch the surface of what the Scripture says. We just don't. But get you a verse. It may be a parable. It may be a miracle. But find something and just learn to slow walk through it and see how the Lord speaks to you through the Word. Because then it changes me from just doing a quick glance, did that read. And now I'm taking this thing in. Oh, Lord. You guys have been incredibly patient. Because I know we. Jesus said in John 8:32, you shall know the Word. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. The truth still sets free. Like no other book, the truth, the Word of God, it sets you free from guilt. It can set you free from shame. It can set you free from doubt. The Word of God still is about setting us free. And if the truth be told, all of us are held in bondage to something that we need to be set free from. And if we're going to enjoy true freedom, it will come through the Word of God. Listen, I'm going to let you go. Timothy, 2 Timothy chapter 3. Paul was writing to his son in the ministry, and he said, listen, there's some selfish folk out here that you're dealing with, and this is what you're dealing with, Timothy. He said, but know this, in the last days, perilous times shall come, for men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemous, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, traitors, headstrong, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but not denying the power, and from such turn away. But look what he says in verse 14. But you must continue in the things which you have learned and been assured of, knowing from whom you have heard them, and that from childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith, which is in Jesus Christ. He's saying that the Word of God can help you come against some of the stuff, those 19 things that he talks about. I love that he says that the Holy Scriptures make the difference. There was a song years ago, some of you may know it. In times like these, we need a Savior. In times like these, we need an anchor. Be very sure, your anchor holds and grips the solid rock. This rock is Jesus, yes, he's the one. This rock is Jesus, the only one. Be very sure, your anchor grips and holds a solid rock. And listen to this, he says, in times like these, be not idle. In times like these, we need the Bible. Be very sure that your anchor grips and holds the solid rock. Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we do bless your name. And Father, we're thankful that in the midst of uncertainty, that we can be strong and courageous, that you promised that you would be with us, that you have given us your word, that we might live victorious in spite of what we may be going through. Lord, we thank you for those who heard the word, but Lord, my prayer is not to preach a good sermon, but that a sermon might do some good in the life of someone. So Lord, I pray that this word would take root, that someone will leave further committed to meditate upon your word, to observe your word, to follow your word, that they would recognize that you promise never to leave us nor forsake us, that you are always with us, Lord. I pray that as we go throughout the week, we might reflect on some of the principles that have been shared here this morning. We love you, Father, and we pray for that person here today who does not know you in the free pardon of their sin. We pray that this might be the day that they confess you as Lord and Savior. We ask all of this in the mighty and matchless name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.